بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we are discussing the glorious lives of the best of people amongst whom today we learn about the best among the best those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about in the Quran Kareem as the family members إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah speaks about how Allah has purified them and cleansed them. This is a direct address to the blessed wives of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's every nikah had so much of hikmah in them. So much of wisdom in them. And as stated in the hadith, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every one of my nikahs and every one of my daughters, I wedded only by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To understand the background of this incident, what had happened was, there was plans of attacks upon Madinah Munawwara by a community known as Banul Mustaliq. The leader's name was Al-Harith ibn Abi Dirar. They were planning to invade Medina Munawwara. And as they were in their plans, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his sahabi, Hazrat Buraydah ibn al-Husayb ibn Abdullah al-Aslami radiallahu anhu. So to remember, Hazrat Buraydah radiallahu anhu was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to verify the plans of these people. He came to them, he discussed matters with them, and he realized that this was their plan. He returned to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the information that he had gathered and their intentions and their plans. And as this was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi prepared Sahaba and they undertook this journey. Alhamdulillah, it happened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this journey. What would happen was, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would cast lots just to keep and to be sensitive to the feelings of his blessed wives. It's reported that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would love that Hazrat Aisha join him on the journeys. But because of the feelings of the wives, he would cast lots, and whoever's name came out, alhamdulillah, she would undertake the journey with the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, so sensitive was Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with ummahatul mu'mineen, with our mothers radiyallahu anhun. When the people of Mustaliq heard that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is soon to arrive, fear had overwhelmed them. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived at an area, a pond called Al-Muraysi'a. His tent was pitched there, and soon thereafter a battle would ensue. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu to invite them to Allah, to call them to La ilaha illallah. But the pride and devilish intentions influenced them, and they refuted and refused to accept. Anyway, the battle took place, and alhamdulillah, the Muslims were victorious. Everyone was taken captive. So this was an amazing victory. It was a clear-cut victory, alhamdulillah. Very interesting to note that on this journey, the munafiqeen had also joined. The munafiqeen meaning the hypocrites. They were always in Madinah Munawwara. They joined the Muslims on very few expeditions. And they would always stay behind, hoping that the Muslims would lose. On this occasion, they were very upset and they tried a different strategy. Their plan this time was to join the Muslims and disrupt and create disunity from within. So Abdullah bin Ubay, who was the munafiq, and his cronies and supporters. During the journey, there's quite a few incidents where Abdullah bin Ubay caused a lot of fitna, creating false rumors, stirring up unneeded misunderstandings, creating hatred for each other. Like one event took place where there was an argument by the water between someone who was affiliated to the Ansar and another from the Muhajirin. And when this argument took place, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, why do you return to the practices of Jahiliyyah? Abi da'wa al-Jahiliyyah wa ana bayna adhurikum. Why do you return to the practices of Jahiliyyah? Allah's Nabi is amongst you. And this stopped the fitna and the misunderstandings that was taking place. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the ummah a lesson here, that it doesn't mean you are affiliated to one tribe, you call them to assist you in this difficulty, but call for justice and call towards justice. This is the teachings of our deen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered and explained assisting one because of him being from my tribe or family or color or race, not looking at justice, at who is the oppressor and the oppressed. Such assistance is injustice and oppression. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Unsur akhak, zaliman aw madluman. Help your brother, irrespective of whether he's zalim or madloom. So Sahaba asked, if he's madloom, oppressed, we understand how to assist him. But how do we assist one when he is the zalim? So Allah's Nabi said, if one is the oppressor, assisting him is stopping him from injustice, irrespective of whether he is one's son or daughter or father or brother or relative. This is the beauty of our deen. When Abdullah bin Ubay heard about this event, he got very upset. And he said, yes, see these Meccan immigrants, these people who are outsiders. This parable is nothing but like the statement of one who said, fatten your dog and then tomorrow the same dog will eat you. And he said to the Ansar, he called them, he says, I told you, don't sponsor these people, don't give these people, let them get out of Medina Munawwara. Tomorrow you will see the honored, the most honored in Medina will banish and exile the one who's most disgraced. Na'udhu billah. He was actually alluding to the fact that trying to explain to his people that he is the most honored and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is disgraced. But Allah revealed these verses of the Quran Kareem and Allah brought disgrace upon Abdullah bin Ubay. We will come back to this event, but this also took place on this journey. Something else very interesting that happened on this journey was the revelation of the ruling of Tayammum, the practice of, in the absence of water, cleansing oneself with sand and soil to perform one's prayer and tilawa of the Quran. And this was due and in honor to our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. As the Muslims had taken the people of Mustaliq as captives, 700 men, 2,000 camels, 5,000 sheep, amongst them were women folk, were children, all this were taken into captivity. What happened then was, as the captives were distributed, one woman amongst them, none other than someone by the name of Barra. Barra means righteous and piety, or the very pious one. She had fallen to the lot of a great Sahabi by the name of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiallahu anhu. The Sahabi was known as the Khatib of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When delegations would come to Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would appoint him to lecture them in regards to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and deen. He was the one Sahabi whose bequest and will was accepted even after he had passed away, meaning he gave his will. It was in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after he had passed away, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu instructed that it should be carried out. This was a speciality of the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. So as she asked for mukataba, mukataba is something very interesting in Islam. When someone falls to captivity and he or she asks the person to whose lot they had fallen for mukataba, Quran instructs the individual, accept the mukataba, the offer of this person. فَكَاتِبُوهُمْ إِنْ عَلِمْتُمْ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا. Subhanallah. From here we learn that slavery as known by the West is not bondage in Islam. When someone fell to captivity in Islam, it's totally different to what was the system, or what was the system of the West and Europe. As Muslims, Muslims were taught to be kind to captives. Muslims were respectful to their captives, were good to them. Quran actually instructs the individual to whose hand the captive falls. That if this individual is going to be a good citizen, if this individual has goodness and is not going to be harmful to the society, and he or she asks for mukataba. Mukataba is asking the owner to set a figure or a fee that this slave has the opportunity and the time to go and work and arrange this amount, and as they pay this amount, this slave or captive acquires their freedom. A slave should not be oppressed, should not be degraded, discarded, belittled. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described slaves as ikhwanukum. They are your brothers. جَعَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Allah has placed them under your supervision and authority. He whose brother is under his authority, feed him from what you eat, clothe him from what you wear, and don't burden him with what he does not have the ability to fulfill. And if you give him a difficult task and burden, assist them in the fulfillment of the task. So this can never be compared to slavery and bondage in the Western society. This is something totally different, totally different. He asked for this deal of mukataba, and he set a price at 9 uqiyah, which was a large sum. And now, she being the daughter of the leader of the community, obviously he had escaped at that time, she was planning on how to actually solve this issue. She didn't want to remain as a slave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, when I saw her, كانت حلوة ملاحة. She was such a sweet person. ملاحة. She was really attractive and beautiful. Interesting is the word in Arabic. ملاحة, like مليحة. And the original word of this is ملح, like salt. In Arabic, and in the society that we are learning about, milh is salt and something special and exotic, something rare, like the taste it brings, the spices that brings a special taste to the food. So what it means is not something salty that we can understand in our language or societies. What it means is something exotic and special and rare. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha expresses that she stood out. She was really attractive in the state of hers where she was enslaved, and now she has an opportunity to pay a fee and earn her freedom. She didn't know what to do, and Allah guides her to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She stands before the kind, compassionate Nabi of Allah, seeking assistance over her difficulty. She comes from such a prominent background. She is the daughter of her leader, of the leader of the community. She comes from royalty. In this interim, she found out about Islam. She embraced Islam. She comes to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, Ya Rasulullah, O the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am a Muslim woman, meaning I have embraced Islam. Islam is now clear to me. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that la ilaha illallah, there's none, there's no deity but Allah, and you are the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am the daughter of Harith, the leader of his community, and what has happened to me is really clear to you. Meaning I'm now in captivity and I want my way out of this. And one riwayah, she says, فَقَدْ أَصَابَنِي مِنَ الْبَلَىٰ مَا لَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَيْكَ. This challenge that has befallen me is clear to you. I asked to purchase my freedom from Thabit, and he had appointed me, he asks of me something that I cannot manage. O Nabi of Allah, إِلَّا أَنِّي رَجَوْتُكَ. I am hoping for your assistance. I have come to seek your assistance in helping me purchase my freedom. Allahu Akbar, what Allah's decree is so amazing. Allah brought her to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah brought her to the kindest of Allah's creation. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her, can I make a better offer to you? Hallaki fi khairin min dhalik. She said, with a heart filled with hope, what is that offer, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Al-Habibul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will pay for your freedom, and at the same time I propose for your hand in marriage. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. She was just seeking assistance. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid for her freedom because it was a price that was exorbitant and she couldn't manage.
She didn't expect such an offer. An offer to be the wife of the greatest of Allah's creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Amazing is the foresight of the beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As Allah's Nabi makes this offer to her, immediately she responds in the positive. She responded without a stammer, without a stutter, without any confusion. She said, Naam ya Rasulallah, waqad fa'alt. Yes, O the Nabi of Allah, I have done. I have accepted your proposal. The nikah was done. And the news spread amongst the Muslims. Allahu Akbar, that Hazrat Barra, just then Allah's Nabi changed her name to Juwayriyah. Radiallahu anha, our mother Juwayriyah, a name Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave her. Her name was formerly Barra, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's other wife, Hazrat Zainab. Hazrat Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha was also Barra. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave her the name Zainab. Here Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu anha's name was Barra. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam changed her name to Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, as well as Hazrat Zainab bint Abi Salama, Hazrat Abu Salama radiallahu anhu's daughter, the daughter of Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu anha. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam changed her name to Zainab as well. One is the humility of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi changed a name that was inappropriate in certain ways. Like here, in this name there could be some pride, that one claims to be very, very pious, that I am piety, I am the ultimate in piety and so forth. So Allah's Nabi teaches piety, and teaches actual piety is humility. And also one report in Muslim explains that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wouldn't want one to say that he just left Barra, meaning left the place of piety or left piety. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was cautious, and he thought cautiousness and care in expressions, that one rather think and say the right thing than just utter and blab and say the wrong thing. Like in one beautiful hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La tatakallam bikalamin. Never utter such a thing that will make you regret your statement tomorrow. Meaning we should think and then utter. Never just hurt people. Never just say things out of context. A believer's tongue is behind his mind and heart, because what is uttered can never be taken back.
Islam for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Iman for one, for all. Islam International. The world is our community. News headlines. A blitz of what's current on Radio Islam International.
Making headlines this half hour, Equal Education has amplified calls for government to urgently abandon rotational timetables and safely reopen schools for all learners. It believes that the class of 2021 has been even more negatively affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. However, speaking to Radio Islam International, Maulana Muhammad Bacha of Tswane Muslim School is the top performing Muslim school in Gauteng and ranking fifth nationally, as well as Central Islamic School, also obtained 100% bachelor's pass. And
from the Tswane Muslim School, I am Muhammad Bacha. Alhamdulillah, a very exciting day for us at our school with the matric results. Alhamdulillah, our school has been placed nationally fifth. And also in Gauteng, we've achieved second position as the top performing school. And in the from Muslim schools, we are the top achieving Muslim school in Gauteng. We achieved a 100% bachelor's pass at a class average of 74.6%.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Manzoor Alimir. I'm the principal of Central Islamic School in Lodium. We are quite elated this morning because we've achieved 100% bachelor's pass, and our results were excellent compared to last year. I think we've kept the momentum, so it was really exciting.
Meanwhile, the United States Justice Department has announced charges against a second man it accuses of being involved in the assassination of Haitian President Jovenel Moïse last year. 49-year-old Rudolf Yar, a dual Haitian-Chilean citizen, was charged with kidnapping outside of the U.S. He was also charged with providing material support resulting in death, knowing or intending that such material support would be used to prepare for or carry out the conspiracy to kill or kidnap in relation to Moise's killing at his residence in Port-au-Prince on July 7, 2021. And finally, the residents of Sheikh Bilal camp for internally displaced people in Afrin in the northwestern Syria are struggling to keep their homes intact after a fierce winter storm brought more than a foot of snow. Some 160 families have been trapped by the storm for the past 2 days and are struggling to keep their tents from breaking. The millions of internally displaced people and refugees living in tented settlements in Syria have long struggled to cope in the winter, but the United Nations has said that this year is far worse amid rising poverty and aid. And that's a wrap of your headlines. More news coming up at the top of the hour.
Keep up with all the latest happenings on air and online. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Radio Islam.
What does Juwayriya mean? Allahu Akbar. She was the daughter of the leader, but what does her name mean? Juwayriya is the tasghir, meaning to make something smaller. But in Arabic, when you make something smaller, it's actually for different reasons. One of the reasons would be compassion, kindness. Like tufil means a child. Tufail, beloved child. Younger child would mean, little child would mean beloved child. So tufail means beloved child. Jariya means a young girl. Juwayriya is the form in Arabic where this is minimized, but it doesn't mean minimal and less or just small. What it means, it has the meaning of compassion and beloved. So it means beloved young girl. So it was a name of love and compassion and care. And also Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave her that special love because of her sacrifice and what she went through and how she becomes the means of khair for her community. Subhanallah. Because as the news spread in the community and amongst the Muslims, all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, after receiving their captives and their booty, they said, our mother, Hazrat Juwayriya, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these captives are Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's relatives, meaning the relatives, the in-laws, the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sahabi who received their lot in this booty liberated their slaves and captives and treated them well out of respect for this relation, out of respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of respect for Ummul Mu'mineen. Allahu Akbar. Allah give us the quality of respect. Allah give us adab and akhlaq and character. And our mother, Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu anha's nikah was a means of so much of khair, so much of goodness, that more than 100 families uttered the kalima and came into the fold of Islam, embraced Islam due to this treatment of Muslims, due to such respect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afforded them and gave them, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum blessed them with and conferred upon them. Allah give us these wonderful qualities. Every one of them who were liberated came and uttered the kalima, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum started teaching them. Let us ask ourselves, my respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the people that we associate with and interact with and we deal with, do we bring them closer to Islam, or is it due to our interaction they are distanced from Allah's deen? Let us never be unjust to people. Let us show them the truth of Islam through our character, through our ways, through our justice, through integrity, humility, truthfulness, honesty. Our deen is full of, replete with qualities, adab, akhlaq and character. Quran is replete with these qualities. There's an interesting report where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha actually says, when I saw her, I was worried Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see her and notice what I noticed in her, meaning her beauty and her way, meaning that of Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. She returned with the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and with the Muslims to Medina Munawwara. Quite a few events happened after that where the munafiqeen tried to spread false allegations against our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And Allah, like Allah revealed the verses of Tayammum on the occasion or in honor of the family of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Here as well, when false allegations were laid against our mother Aisha radiallahu anha with Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu, Allah revealed 16 verses of the Quran Kareem from Surah An-Nur. Let's read the translation of these verses and we learn how Allah detests causing fitna and spreading fitna and lies and destroying the community and the society. Allah detests such despicable attitudes and ways and practices. Allah liberated the honor, Allah expressed the honor of our mother Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Something else very interesting happened as our mother Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu anha returned to Medina Munawwara. Sometime later, her father, arranging lots of wealth and camels, comes with all of it to Medina Munawwara, not knowing what had transpired prior, that his daughter had actually become the mother of the believers. He didn't know of what had happened, so he comes with lots of gifts and camels and he enters with all of it to Medina Munawwara. As he entered, amongst his entourage and the gifts that he had prepared, there were two special, exclusive camels. His heart didn't want him to give those two, so he put them aside and hid them in the valley called Aqiq outside Medina Munawwara. And he arrives with these gifts before the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, expressing them as gifts and expressing his humility and his apology for what had happened in the past and his plans for attacking Medina Munawwara and asking for kindness in regards to his daughter. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "What about the camels you had hidden in Wadi al-Aqiq?" He says, "What? No one knows about that." And that was enough for him to see the truth in Allah's special assistance with his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he embraced the kalima, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." And reports then suggest that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam proposed for his daughter from him. So it seems that even though historically Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was already wedded to Hazrat Juwayriya radiyallahu anha and the nikah was complete, but here out of honor for the father, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sought his daughter again, even though it seems that there was no need for this, but this would have been consideration for the honor of the father. And sometimes we learn this lesson that sometimes someone becomes a Muslim and their father, her father maybe is not a Muslim. So maybe the father is brought to the masjid for the nikah and so forth, but her father cannot become the wali. But in honor, he is given some sort of respect that this could be a means of, or hopefully, bringing him to Islam or seeing the environment of deen and so forth. But according to the verdict, he would not become the wali, but someone else. So this could be the context of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning this to him, even though the nikah was already completed. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, her life in Medina Munawwara was replete with ibadah, with tasbih, with learning, with dhikrullah, with fasting profusely. She was exemplary in her ibadah. There's an interesting report where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is reported by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he's one of her students. He narrates this hadith from her that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by her. And she was in her masjid, meaning in her home she specified a specific place for her ibadah, and this was her masjid. And this is what we encourage our women folk, specify an important, respected place in our home where our salat takes place. This place should be respected, this place should be revered, our ibadah should take place there in abundance. For example, the halaqa of ta'aleem should take place there, our tasbihat can take place there. This report of Sahih Muslim mentions, and Musnad al-Imam Ahmad from Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, this was her masjid, meaning a cordoned off place specified for Allah's ibadah in her home. Our ulama mentioned that this place should be kept with reverence and respect and kept cleaned. Later on in the day, ثُمَّ مَرَّ عَلَيْهَا قَرِيبًا مِّن نِصْفِ النَّهَارِ, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed there and it was almost midday. So Allah's Nabi said to her, as he passes by her and he sees her, or he comes to greet her or meet her,
And he says, ما زلت على الحال التي فارقتك عليها. Have you remained in this condition from the morning? Meaning, did you do other things and then return to this posture or dhikr? Or did you continue in this manner from the morning up till this time? So she responded in the affirmative. قالت نعم. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then encourages her. Obviously what she did was extraordinary. So much of ibadah. So such abundance of dhikrullah. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her a special tasbih to add on with her abundance of ibadah. He gave her somewhat a special teaching and a gift. أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكِ كَلِمَاتٍ تَقُولِينَهُنْ O Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, shall I not teach you certain words that you would utter, the rewards would be so abundant. Now this is like worshipping Allah in bulk. Few words, one acquires great rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this wording of the hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches her, Subhanallah adada khalqih, Subhanallah rida nafsih, Subhanallah zinata arushih, Subhanallah midada kalimatih. In another wording of the hadith, Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu anha says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then came to me and taught me these words and said that I have uttered four words three times. أربع كلمات ثلاث مرات لو وزنت بما قلت منذ اليوم لوزنتهن. These few words are so weighty, are so beloved to Allah, are so valuable, it would outweigh one's entire time in ibadah. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches her, سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. Allahu Akbar. Every one of us should learn this beautiful dhikr. سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته. Morning and evening, every one of us should bring alive this beautiful prophetic practice and recite this beautiful tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rewards are extraordinary. The meaning of which is, O Allah, I proclaim your purity. Subhanallah. O Allah, I profess and express that you are free from every blemish. You are pure, perfect, and pristine. وَبِحَمْدِهِ O Allah, I express all praises of you. I confess to all your bounties and praises. These two utterances, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, go together in many ahadith and in many verses of the Quran Kareem. Many verses of the Quran Kareem mention these praises of Allah together. Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah. Like the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. In Surah Al-Isra, the chapter starts, Subhanalladhi asra. The chapter ends, Alhamdulillah alladhi lam yattakhidh walada. And the next chapter, which is Surah Al-Kahf, which is chapter 18, Allah says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. So the previous chapter, Surah Al-Isra, starts with Subhanallah. And Al-Kahf, which is the next chapter, starts with Alhamdulillah. So these two praises of Allah are coupled in verses of the Quran Kareem and in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the advice of Nuh alayhi salam to his son, he says to his son that every creation of Allah praises Allah with such praises, Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah. Then this wording goes, O Allah, I recite and I proclaim your purity and perfection and you being free from every blemish, and I express your praise and your purity and your bounties that I thank you for. Alhamdulillah. Adada khalqi. O Allah, I don't know how to actually express this in abundance, because just one time is not sufficient. Adada khalqi. I utter this, Allah, and I express these beautiful sentiments equivalent to the amount of your creation. And obviously we know Allah's creation is unlimited, is beyond what we can fathom. Yani, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. What we can see and what we can't. So many of Allah's creation, so vast, so abundant, so great.
Oh Allah, that amount of times I utter Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah. Warida nafsi, not only adad khalqi, but even equivalent to your pleasure. And you're being happy with your servant, and Allah's happiness with His servant. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. Allah's ridwan, Allah's pleasure is the greatest. Allah's pleasure with His banda who pleases Him, and His banda who follows His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and His banda when He grants His banda Jannah in Akhirah, and Allah's joy and happiness with the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. That amount of rida of Allah is so extraordinary, so abundant, beyond what we can ever fathom. And also, oh Allah, subhanallah and alhamdulillah, zinata arshi, equivalent to the weight of the arsh of Allah, which is so vast, so great, from all the creation of Allah, the greatest and the biggest. Obviously, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest of Allah ta'ala's creation. But here, what is mentioned is the weight of the arsh of Allah. How sizable is Allah's arsh? Allah mentions, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. There's 8 angels carrying the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in the verse of the Quran Kareem. In a hadith of Sahih Muslim, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has allowed me and permitted me to explain to you about this angel of Allah ta'ala, min hamalatil arsh, annama bayna shahmati udhuni ila atiqi masiratu khamsi mi'ati sana. From the distance from the earlobe, the ear of this angel of Allah, till the shoulder of this angel of Allah, is a distance of 500 years. Such angels carrying the arsh of Allah. Imagine the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, ما السماوات السبع والأرضون السبع وما بينهن وما فيهن في الكرسي إلا كحلقة ملقاة بأرض فلا. That the 7 heavens and the 7 earths and everything contained between them and within them and in them, in comparison to the kursi of Allah, is not even equivalent to a little ring, كحلقة, a ring casted in a vast desert. The comparison of everything is that little ring, and the comparison of the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this creation of Allah, the kursi, is that large, vast desert. Then, وَإِنَّ الْكُرْسِيَ بِمَا فِيهِ, and the comparison of the kursi with everything, بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَى الْعَرْشِ, in comparison to the arsh of Allah, is that like that halqa, that ring, that's cast in that desert. So this creation of Allah is beyond what we can fathom. But always remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of space and time, because He is the creator of space and time. Allah is not in need of the arsh, and anything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally independent of. This is the creation of Allah to show His qudra, to show His power, to show His grandeur, to show His might and glory subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in need of anything, or even His arsh subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dua goes, Subhanallah wa bihamdih, adad khalqih, wa rida nafsih, wa zinata arshih, wa midada kalimatih. What does midada kalimatihi means? So much of praise for Allah and proclamation of His purity and perfection, equivalent to midad kalimatih, the vastness of Allah's words and Allah's knowledge and Allah's greatness that is unlimited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses this to us in His Quran, where Allah says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرِ. Tell them, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, قُلْ, if the oceans, لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرِ, مِدَادًا, had to become ink to express Allah's vast knowledge, مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي, The oceans to become ink to express the knowledge of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, the vastness of Allah's greatness, glory, knowledge, power, grandeur, might. all the oceans to become ink to express this. And in the other verse, وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ, if all the trees in the universe were transformed into pens, and with the pens and the oceans being ink, and all the creation of Allah to write, even the malaika of Allah, and all Allah's creation to write Allah's grandeur, Allah's might, Allah's power, Allah's glory, Allah's vast knowledge, unlimited knowledge, and unlimited of Allah's powers and greatness and glory. لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرِ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي, the oceans will diminish and extinguish, and the trees would finish, but Allah's greatness, Allah's glory, Allah's power, Allah's grandeur, Allah's might, Allah's unlimited knowledge would never ever come to an end. وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَاتِ, so much of praise for Allah, subhanallahi wa bihamdi, midada kalimati. Allahu Akbar, what a dua the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught his blessed wife Hazrat Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, and how indebted are we to our beloved mother Hazrat Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, that she made this beautiful hadith and this beautiful dua available to us. So that's why, respected lovers of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, let's learn this lesson. Share Allah's deen, share the beautiful du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with every person out there, with every person that we come into contact with. Share some aspect of deen with every person. Have this mizaj, this temperament of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, to share and make the deen available out there. Make the beautiful sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam available to humanity. Rewards Allah will give us, that every person who learns from us, that we impart to, our rewards will be unlimited. Imagine we are reading these glorious du'as, Allah give us tawfiq to recite, our mother will get the full reward radiyallahu anha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. So this was our mother Hazrat Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. In the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was so attentive. She learned and watched the beloved of Allah in his du'as, in his practices, in the practices of his sunan, the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the home, the tahajjud, Allah's Nabi's beseeching Allah for humanity, Allah's Nabi's teachings. She learned all of this. She retained it. She preserved it. She practiced it with her pure heart, her piety, her taqwa, her understanding of deen, her pure soul, and her love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she would love this goodness for humanity. So she would teach this to the ummah. She taught Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, Quraib, the free slave of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the Tufail, who was her nephew, Ubaid ibn Sabbaq, Mujahid, Abu Ayyub, Yahya ibn Malik, Azdi, and so many students of hers she taught and imparted Allah's deen to. Her hadith are narrated in all the books of hadith. There's an interesting hadith that's reported in Sahih Bukhari from Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu anha, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited her on Jumu'ah, and on this Jumu'ah day she was fasting. So Allah's Nabi asked her, did you fast yesterday? She said, no. Allah's Nabi said, is your intention to fast tomorrow as well? She responded in the negative. Allah's Nabi said, then on Friday you should not fast, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah's Nabi taught the ummah via Hazrat Juwayriya radiyallahu anha that Friday is like the Eid of the week, and it's a special day. So specifically fasting on such a special day, which is like the Eid, and which is the Eid of the week, is not encouraged in our deen, unless a person fasts normally, like the 3 days in the Ayyamul Bid, the 3 days in the month, in the middle of the month. In one hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, clearly in the ummah, to the ummah, Yawmul Jumu'ah is Eid. So do not make your day of Eid a day of fast, unless you fasted the day before or the day after. There's also a very interesting report where Hazrat Juwayriya radiyallahu anha received a special gift from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Khaybar, 80 large measurements of dates and 20 measurements of barley, wasaqs, loads. So much Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her, and she was so generous, she would share with everyone.
There's one very interesting report in Kanzul Ummal. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullahi brings this report, which has a satisfactory sound chain of reporters, where she asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advice regarding a certain slave of hers. So Allah's Nabi advised her to join ties with it, that a certain uncle of hers, maternal uncle, mother's brother, who was elderly and without any assistant. So Allah's Nabi advised his blessed wife, our mother Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu anha, to gift the slave to her uncle. And the slave would then become his shepherd and assist him in his works. And she did exactly as Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised her. So we learn to take care of the elderly and our relatives, our uncles and aunts, and make their khidmah in any way possible. And this we learn from our mother, Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu anha. Something else very interesting that took place during the khilafah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. During Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's khilafah, he would give everyone stipend equally, irrespective of who they were, whether Badri, whether from the Bay'atul Aqaba, from Bay'atul Ridwan, whether whatever status and position, everyone received as an equal stipend. During the Khilafah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, every person received their stipend relative to their ranking and their status in deen. Like a Badri would receive much more and so forth. Like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu would grant Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu, Usama bin Zayd, more than his own son. So his son, and Hazrat Umar was open to actually a question or objection. So when his son asked him, he said, because his son asked him that Usama did not sacrifice more than me, nor was he a Muslim before me. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu expressed these sentiments, that his father was more beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than your father, and he was more beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than thee, O my son. This was the justice of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. With regards to the blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every one of them would receive 12,000. And it happened that Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, our mother, and Hazrat Juwayriya bint al-Harith radiallahu anhuma received 6,000. When this question was asked, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu expressed these sentiments, that they also undertook the great sacrifice and the arduous journey of Hijrah. So they said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, this what you gave them is not because of Hijrah. It was لِمَكَانَتِهِنَّ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was because the blessed wives of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم shared such a status that they were Allah's Nabi's wives. Because of that status, they received this amount. And then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha came in to say that yes, Allah's Nabi was fair صلى الله عليه وسلم and equal with all of us. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu accepted the correction and gave all the blessed wives exactly the same, meaning Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu anha and Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anhun, our mothers. Allahu Akbar. She spent her entire life practicing deen, sharing deen, imparting deen. Allahu Akbar. Right till her age of 70. She was 70. It was during the Khilafah of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. It was the 50th year after the Hijrah, when she had departed from this world. So she was 70 at that time. That's why when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded her, it was the 6th year Hijri. And she would have been at that time approximately 26. And she lived so many years after that, sharing Allah's deen, imparting. She was 70 during the year 50 Hijri when she had departed from this world. That's why it seems, that's why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named her Juwayriya radiallahu anha, because she was relatively very young. And it was a title of love and compassion. And when she left this world, Marwan bin Hakam performed her janazah prayer, and her blessed body in the janazah was carried, and she was buried next to Ummahatul Mu'mineen in Baqi'. Allahu Akbar. What a life was that of our mother. How much of blessings we learn from Ummahatul Mu'mineen. So many practices of deen, so many sunan practices, how the tahajjud was performed, which sunnahs are mu'akkada, which tasbihat to make, how to live our lives in our homes and outside our homes, that we are Muslims everywhere in the world, whether we are in the market, whether we are at home, how to enter our home, how to leave our home, how to treat our children, how to treat our wives, how to live in this dunya daily, daily, in the morning, in the night,
on every occasion how to practice Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah. Something so emphasized in Quran, in chapter 33 of the Quran, Suratul Ahzab, Allah emphatically emphasizes the importance of the sunnah. Allah says in Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah says, most certainly, definitely, the seven emphasis in this verse, lam, la, that lam is for emphasis, qad is for emphasis, kana is for emphasis there, lakum is for emphasis. So much of emphasis Allah places on the importance of following the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to learn these beautiful sunan on every occasion. Where do we learn this from? Mainly the blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mothers. Allah give us tawfiq to value them, appreciate them, learn their lives and impart their beautiful lives that are exemplary to the entire humanity in totality. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.